Come on up. It's just us.
Good morning, isn't it?
Good morning. Probably me. Okay. Well, it's...
He's just ready. Yeah, Jesus.
Okay, I'll sit down. Okay. And this is on? Is this good? Okay. Good morning and welcome. My name is Sue. I am a compulsive eater and... I have the microphone in front of me now. Okay. And just as a housekeeping measure, anyone that wants to come up afterwards and speak, and I certainly hope you do need to sign your name and permission to have your voice recorded, because what we do here, all of the workshops will be on the website for people to tune in and listen to. So I'm Sue. I'm a compulsive eater. Welcome. 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 And here's a couple flyers for you, my dear. And so...
Is this how to grow the gold?
Well, it's how your garden grows with the 12 steps. We're not... I don't have any dirt and shovels here. We have dirt? Okay. You got it. That, not that kind of dirt. Okay. So how this workshop came about, I was at on Zoom... in my office, meditation meeting, and came out of the meditation, and I have a ledge right outside that has some plants on it. And there's two plants that I had there, two cactuses, and I bought them at the same time from the same man. They were the same size. I kept them together. I watered them the same. I transplanted them at the same time into the same dirt. Same containers, sat side by side, and one flourished and one didn't. And I looked at them when I came out of the meditation, and it struck me. One was growing, one was just sitting. And I got a phone call afterwards from someone on the meeting who said, I was the one that didn't flourish. And I'm going, I don't have an answer. I don't know why. She says, I've done all this stuff. I'd show up, I do, I write, I call, I do everything. And I'm just not flourishing in this program the way other people are. And what I found as a result of looking into some of this is that sometimes, the answer now, I didn't have an answer, the answer now is sometimes it's just not your time to grow. That maybe there's other things that need to be done before you can do that. So I get a call from Shirley, will you do a workshop? And I'm going, and so that's how it came up to do this. I have a lot of comparisons for the 12 steps. And the first thing I did was I went to Daily Reflections. And about gardening. And you can see these here on the second page. It talks about more and more of the garden is weeded each time I look, but I also find new weeds sprouting where I thought I had made my final pass with the blade. So this is about the 10th step. You already did your inventory, and now there's new weeds sprouting, and it's easier when they're younger. And the same thing when we, after we make our amends and, you know, you go back, oops, there's one more. But I can take care of it right today. I don't have to wait until it manifests and becomes a whole big trauma. I can just take care of it, just like I can pluck that weed. And it says, you know, as sobriety grows and bears fruit, so do we. Well, we don't bear fruit, but we grow. My program should be planted in the right location, just as it needs to be groomed and nourished and protected from disease. My planting will require patience and realizing that some flowers are more perfect than others, and each stage of the petal unfolding brings wonder and delight. If I do not interfere or let my expectations override my acceptance, then I get serenity. And it's just, you know, cutting back the weeds of alcoholism, I am letting those early seeds of faith grow and bloom and bring the higher power of my understanding into my life. So that we get to do. Running through the steps here, I just wrote down some words, and what I'd like to do today is, after I speak, is to have you guys write down some thought of your thoughts and you know, what do you do in your mental garden to grow your spiritual flower that's inside of you, and come up and share it. So that's my hope. I plan to talk for about 20 minutes. The first one I put down is step one. I just gave these, you know, one word phrases, and it's admitting, honesty is admitting that, you know, we needed help. And what I was doing with my disease was choking the blooms and the joy in my life. And I was pushing it down and choking it back. And the first step, it's just acknowledging, you know, I admitted I was a compulsive eater and my life was unmanageable. Step two is the faith that I can do something differently. I can restore this. I can trust the process on gardening. And it's just what sprouts up, I can take care of now because I'm looking in a new direction. And this surrender, step three, admitting I was powerless, and step one, two, and three is came to believe. And this step three is the sprout. It's the surrender. It's trusting the natural cycle of life. If I stay in these rooms and I do what I need to do, and to stay in my garden and watch it and be aware and do the next step of what is in order. I can't go and plant beautiful new things and cuttings on top of a pile of weeds. It just doesn't work. So step four is the soul searching, to get down, dig out those weeds. I mean, I can yell at weeds. I can, you know, get mad at them, but nothing is going to happen unless I really dig down. And that's our inventory. And digging down and getting to the bottom of it all and clearing it up. Linda, would you give?
Oh, sure.
Those two ladies here. Thank you. I just moved in with my, I hate to say boyfriend at this age, but the gentleman that I've been seeing. So I moved in with my guy, and he has this garden. And when I first met him and I walked into the yard, there was this mass of succulents. And I turned the corner and it's just this mass of succulents. And it was really pretty. But I realized this whole narrow thing walking in, I couldn't see the beauty that was behind it. So as I was there and I was staying, I said to him, "Do you mind if I can cut some of this back a little bit?" And he's going, "Why?" I go, "Because the beauty of what you have back here is hidden." And that it just struck me as our inventory. That's what we do. We dig it up. So I cut something. I go, "Let me just cut these down. And then if it's okay, then I'll cut them all the way down." So I did it in process. I did it in step, just as when I wrote my first inventory, I couldn't do it during the week. It was too much for me to do. I would do it because I do my writing in the morning, and I would be writing something about my childhood, and then I'd go to a business meeting, and my only thought was, "I want my mommy." You know, so I made a deal with my sponsor. "I'll write you something from, you know, one day at a time during the week, and I'll sit on Saturday, and I'll write 7 questions or 2 hours. And I got my inventory done that way, and then I had time to digest it and do it. So I knew that it can be done differently. I didn't have to take the whole thing down at once. I could just go through it. And he goes, this is really interesting. Okay. He had always known, I mean, he never touched the garden. His wife passed away maybe 10 years earlier, and my late husband passed away 6 years ago. So we were both in the same boat, but he had never touched the yard. That was her thing. And the gardeners came and did a mow, blow, and go. And I started getting my hands in there. And it was like, am I moving in with him for his garden? Or am I moving in? But I wound up, I was there like 5 days a week, and I was going home to, I don't know, water my plants. And so I moved in last September, and I really started to change. A lot of that went on. But the first thing I had to do, which is step four, I would call it soul searching. I call it soil searching, and get down to the bottom of it all and get it gone and unearth the thorns and get them out, which is step five, which is stepping into integrity and having the courage and the grace to share this with another human being. You know, I can share what I dug up from the trash can with the gardeners, but, you know, I don't need to discuss that much further other than to say, I'm glad it's all gone, and let's look forward to the next phase. And step six is the readiness to move forward. And it's, you know, after the weeds are removed, we can get to the readiness and just be willing to keep plucking those weeds as they come, willing to do things differently. I think the joy for me is just having a joyful heart while I do this, and to find the happiness that comes from it. Humility, step seven. I don't know everything. I don't know what to do. I can find out. I have the willingness to take a look. I can take care of the soil. This water's running off. Okay, I need to amend it. And I learn. I'm willing to put my defects aside. I don't know everything. I went to a garden cactus show, and I said, how do you transplant that? And the guy goes, you put on big gloves and get a beach towel and wrap it all around, and you can pick it up real easy. I go, oh, okay. You know, and I just have fun with it. And it's just such a joy. And it's like asking him how to do that was me asking my sponsor, how do I move forward from here to there? I just can't believe how much I came through this making amends. I made a few amends for stepping on stuff that wound up coming through and being beautiful, but mainly restoring. It was restoring the beauty that was there. As I said, he hadn't touched it. His late wife had done a lot of planting. And when I got there, there were all these succulents and six rose bushes. And after I pulled up more and more and more of the succulents, trash cans full of these, and the last count, there were 21 roses, and I didn't plant any. So they were there. The beauty of the roses were hidden by the thorns of the cactuses and the succulents. Now, that's not to say I didn't bring in more cactuses, because those are easy to care for, and it gets a lot of sun. And then I, when I got to the step 10, it was like, it's the ongoing cultivation and putting things in the right place. I found that I had, when I jump to do something, my sister passed away in April, and in May I had a remembrance at the house for her, and I ran out and I bought some new stuff because I wanted it to have flowers instead of just, you know, the succulents and stuff that didn't bloom very much, and the roses are going to do what they do. And it looked really pretty that day. And I go, oh, I can just kind of leave this and water. But no, because I had things in the sun that couldn't handle the sun. And because I jumped in to do something in a hurry, I didn't take the time to do it right. It got me accomplished. But in the big picture, I had to relearn and revisit, which is what I get to do all the time in my program. I mean, I was in a skit last night. And the first thing I did when I was, they go, well, we're going to do this. I go, well, why don't we do it? And they're looking at me like, you know, here's my opinion coming out. I go, sorry, you know, I'll be quiet. And, you know, it's still, those things come up. Nothing goes away, except I don't compulsively overeat. I don't compulsively do things that I have to make amends for. And I get to move forward with my life and have the beauty that I have today. Seeking guidance, step 11, it's my favorite place to go to meditate. I can go and sit in the yard and just breathe it in. I don't go out there looking, what do I have to do now or what needs to be done next? I can just go in and just enjoy. And I have seen so many birds. And now the newest thing that I'm seeing, there are butterflies. It was like, oh, I mean, I know the bees come, and there was like this one little butterfly. And as I was sitting, there was a group of three butterflies. I don't know that I've ever seen three butterflies together unless I'm on a, you know, at a botanical garden of some sort. But it's like I can enjoy those butterflies just as much as, you know, anyone would enjoy a dessert anywhere. You know, because it fills my heart. And carrying the message, it's just step 12. It's sharing. It's just sharing. I can cut roses down and bring them in the house. I can, there's one rose bush. It is red and white striped on each rose. And I've never seen anything like it. And you cut them down and they like fall apart. You have to watch them where they are. So I'm learning, I can share, come to my garden and see. But I can't cut those down because they just collapse immediately. It's the strangest thing, but it's like, okay, we don't want to be touched. I'll leave you alone. And I actually was talking to a friend of mine in program, and when I saw her, she had a sign for me that she took. I told her this when I was on the phone with her one day. She had it carved into wood and on a stake. And it said, won't you come into my garden? I'd like my roses to meet you. And it was just, you know, I get to share this program wherever I go, however I go along my path. And I haven't always been like this. I haven't always had this voice and this joy. Let me back up a few minutes. And when I was younger, I had no voice to do anything. I married my first husband because I thought he would be the right person and the right guy, and he was nice, and we got along, and I said I loved him, but I really was so young, I didn't know what love was. And I was home one day, and I got this bright idea. My son was about 2.5, and I was pregnant with my daughter, and my son's 56 now. So this was a while ago. And I decided we have had a little backyard, and then up there was a big triangle patch of land about 7 steps up in the yard, and it was covered with ivy and ice plant. It was just thick. And here I am pregnant. I decided I'm going to clear a patch and make a vegetable garden. This is going to be nice. And I go out every day and I clear, and I had it all stacked up and bagged. And my husband came home from work. I go, okay, come and see, surprise. And he goes, what are you doing? He goes, nothing is going to grow here. He goes, this dirt is like sand. There's no water up here. He goes, what a waste of time. And I went, oh, okay. I couldn't, you know, I had nothing. Divorced him when my daughter was 10, which was about 9 years later than it should have been, but no. And met a guy who 5 years after I met him We wound up getting married in that backyard. Now he came up and looked, he goes, wow, you have all this land up here. Why don't you do something with it? And I repeated back, the dirt is, there's no. He goes, we can bring up bags of amendment. He goes, we can connect hoses. And we got married on that, you know, piece of land back there with the, you know, it was pretty, it was lovely. And after the wedding, we took out all the grass and we planted, we had 6 12-foot by whatever raised boxes, and we raised vegetables. And we would, you know, every weekend we'd go out and we'd, you know, work, and we'd have dinner vegetables for the whole week. I mean, it was fun. It was lively. And I'm going, where's my voice? I still didn't have it till I came to this program. And I finally got a voice to speak and be able to say, and even if it was, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. I don't have an answer, but that doesn't, no, I don't think so. And now I can just go, okay, let's revisit this. Let's look at this again. Let's see what we need to do. The one thing I have found a voice, and my voice here, what I'm talking about, it comes from the joy that I get from, you know, the mess that I was running around in my life was me. It wasn't the weeds tangled in the yard like I would see. It was me. I was causing it. And once I stopped causing chaos inside of me, then I could go out and be a better person and be my best person. I came to these rooms April 15th, 1995 was my first meeting. And my daughter brought me. And she had been in the program 2 years, so it took her 2 years to get me to a meeting. But I was just at that point where I just felt like a slug. And I was having people for dinner that night, and she said, come to the Saturday morning meeting with me. And she says, I know you need to go to the farmer's market. I'll go to the farmer's market with you, and then we'll have, you know, I'll help you with dinner. And we did that. And I still sat there going, what the heck are these people talking about? You know, but I heard the word grateful. And that stuck in my guts, that word grateful. And I went, I don't know what it means. I don't know what grateful means. What is it? You know, and she goes, we had dinner that night. And I ate and drank. And I got up from the table after a load was in the dishwasher and everyone was fed and dessert and sitting around. And I said, last time, and I said to everybody, thank you all for coming. I love you all very much. I have to go to bed now. Because food and drink wiped me out. I went upstairs and went to bed. And I haven't done that since. So I went to the next day. She goes, come to the meeting with me Sunday morning. And I went, well, there's all this mess. She goes, I'll help you. I went, okay. And that was it. I got a sponsor. And the sponsor, she had it set up. This woman came to me and went, do you want me to sponsor you? I went, okay. And I was crying. And I said, oh, you know, she said, we call here, call me tomorrow. And I said, well, we can start today because my daughter made me breakfast. And I ate what she ate. And she goes, well, that's nice. But you haven't committed your food. So call me in the morning and I'll tell you what we need to do. And at that moment, I went, oh, I don't know everything. I know I don't know everything, even though I've watched my daughter. And so I got started in this program and I was just, I think I have just because of some of the things I've gone through in my life, that I was just too scared to leave. And somewhere around 8 years in my program, I realized I was driving a lot of people crazy with how insistent that everything be just right. I have to have my dinner between da-da-da and da-da-da and da-da-da and da-da-da, and I can't do that before da-da-da. And I said, I think I have this. I think I can be more flexible. It took me that long to say, oh, let me talk to my sponsor and maybe I can switch my lunch and dinner and have that later, that meal later or earlier so we can do this thing. And my sponsor will go, okay, you got it. You know what you're doing. And it's the same here. It's the same here. I've gotten away from this. I want you guys to talk. I'd love to hear what you have to say about your recovery and what do you do to grow your mental garden, if you will. But I do have a couple more little gems I'd like to throw in here. It says, water the roses, prune the weeds. And I used to have weapons, and now I have tools. To use the right tools for what the job that you're doing. I don't need to get a shovel to pluck a weed, you know. And I can't, you know, it's a good line. And I have a quote here. It says, a man asked his gardener why his plants grew so beautifully. And the gardener replied, I didn't force them to grow. I removed the obstacles that were stopping them from growing. And so I see along my path of recovery that I was able to remove, you know, husband or whatever that what was blocking my path. And I do have quite a thing when I walk down a path to go into someone's house that as beautiful as the flowers and bushes are, that they don't come into the pathway, because I want the pathway going anywhere that I go, any entrance, to be clear and open and not to be encumbered. So, but he says, I remove what's stopping them from growing. And I think that's what a sponsor has helped me to do. I've had the same sponsor for, we just realized it was about a little over 10 years. And we both thought it was like 6 or 7 years. I go, well, you just celebrated another birthday. And so we get to do this. We get to live life. We get to have joy. We get to move forward. And anything else I have to say here? Joy is happiness that doesn't depend on what happens. Joy is happiness that depends on your reaction to what happens. If you were a sailor, it's how you adjust your sails to the wind. Because you can set that navigational course. I can have my garden completely planned out, but something happens and this tree grows bigger and that thing does that. And I have to change along the way, and I get to do that. Just as I do in my program when things come up and things happen, and they do. I've learned how to eat in hospitals. Hope I don't have to do that anymore. You know, just the same as I learned to, you know, avoid potholes where I can. I do things that I have to do today because that's where my life is, and I'm willing to look at it and accept it as it is and make it better as I go. So I would love to hear from you guys. And and the last thing is, when you come up to speak, after you speak, if you would sign up. Anything else I wanted to say? And just in case you didn't know that old line, you know, the elevator to serenity is broken, use the steps. Okay, so we all have nice and serene now. And can I open the floor up for sharing? Is there anyone that has any thoughts or questions or anything they'd like to say about their spiritual garden or their recovery today? Happy to have you. I can talk more, but I'd like to hear from you guys. Anybody? Come on up. There's a microphone there.
Thank you so much.
Good.
Beautiful. My name is Ray. Hi, everybody. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic, and I just wanted to thank you. such a gorgeous analogy of the garden. And it's making me aware of how much more I appreciate nature since recovery. I get so much joy from it. And I always, of course, appreciated it. But the joy I take in being in nature, the feeling of being abstinent and in my body, in nature, is a spiritual experience for me today in a way it wasn't before. And I also love the idea of the garden. I've naturally started gardening more, and I never was a gardener. And I think it's that engagement with another living thing that's constantly evolving and like me. So I don't have a lot more to say, but I'm going to take in all of the wonderful wisdom that I've heard so far, and I look forward to hearing others. So thank
you so much. I just signed your name. Anyone else? Come on, Karen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Karen B., compulsive eater. And thank you. Thank you so much, Sue, for this workshop. And, you know, I believe nothing happens by accident. And it just so happened that as I walked out of the main room last night and you see me and you tapped on me and you said, are you coming to the workshop? And I'm like, what time? 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh. But, you know, normally I'm at a face-to-face meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm up, you know, So I don't believe it was by accident that I walked out when I walked out and I got to hear this, your sharing all the work you put into this. And, you know, I could relate to the plant that didn't flourish. And I've been in this program since 2006 and I've never had more than 11 months of abstinence. And I don't even think those 11 months were completely honest. So I'm just grateful that nobody ever turned me away. I have to admit that I've been intimidated by members with long-term abstinence. And so I found myself just staying happy in my little group of knuckleheads, right? Like me, that just we keep repeating the same thing over and over again. And it's like, Karen, you need to start asking the people who are successful what they're doing, right? Which I already know. I know the tools. I know what you're supposed to do. And also to get honest with myself in that first step about, really? Are you really doing everything the way you're supposed to do? You know, and looking at myself and my rebellion, like, I think one of the obstacles for me and being here so long, and I've learned to do it my way, and I rewrite everything, you know, and so I'm not completely using the tools that they're supposed to be done. So, you know, I just, at this point in my recovery, I'm trying to work on the honesty, you know, and the honesty with my food, and I'm not like, you know, the difference between committing and reporting. I'm like, you know, I just resist a lot of things, you know, and I'm always telling myself I don't want to be micromanaged, but, you know, it's all part of willingness and surrender, you know, so that's what I'm trying to learn today. And just one more thought on the garden thing. My mom passed away, but her house, you know, my sister owns it now, but she has her garden. She loved her garden. So after this Saturday meeting that I go to, I stop at this gardening center, and I stopped there 2 weeks ago, and I bought milkweed for so my sister can attract butterfly. And as I was looking at them, there were some little caterpillars on there. I was so excited. So I bought them, and I took three to her, and I kept one for myself. So I have my little milkweed on my balcony, right? And I have what started off like just like a little millimeters length of a caterpillar. Now he's gotten bigger. You know, so I just got really excited by that, you know, and hopefully I'll be able to see the change, you know, but I like to think of myself as a caterpillar, you know, and that if I just continue working in this program, that I'll eventually one day be a butterfly, you know, and I just have to, I just be forever grateful to people with long-term abstinence. And I got a taste of all this, you know, the work that goes into this convention, you know, being on the literature table yesterday, just getting thrown in there and didn't know what I was doing. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of work. And I was just there for a little piece of it. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Karen. Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. I need to go get some milkweed. We have plenty of time. Come on, Linda.
Okay, great. I have plenty of stuff.
I wonder if we can turn this
around.
Well, sure.
So that I can see your nose.
Hey.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So I'm a
Famous.
Fussing, yes. Okay. Hi, thanks. Hi, I'm Linda Jean. I'm a compulsive eater. And thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned this workshop and that I committed to you that I would be here because I am now, I'm trying to be impeccable with my word. And if I say I'm going to do something, I need to follow through. And which brings me to plants. This has been a history of mine that I'll get a plant or a vegetable, seeds, and I'll be really excited and I will tend to them and give them attention for like 2 weeks and then I ignore them or forget them and then I go back and go, oh, I haven't watered you, and then I drown them and surprise, they don't flourish. And, you know, and I have in the past compared that to my spiritual practice and any really practice. I'm going to do yoga and I'm all, you know, intense for, and it seemed 2 or 3 weeks and then I'm done. And which is also my food. I do a diet and, you know, have something, have it work really well and then think I can go back to whatever I was doing before. And how come I'm gaining weight? I don't get it. I hit the number on the scale. You know, like somehow it was supposed to be some magical thing. So I also, well, let me go through my little notes here. Weeding, you know, I went through a process of, you know, at those times where I'm like, oh, I'm really going to be good about this. Would go out and weed and then have this guilt about, well, they're living things and they're doing what they do. They're just trying to grow. And how dare I tell them they're not allowed to be here. And, you know, so I had this whole mind game. And then, but the idea of what obstacles am I putting in the way of other things. And recently, I have, just since the California law changed, we have to do green, not recyclable, but green trash. Yeah, so they can bring it to a place to turn it into more dirt and or soil. And so now I'm thanking, even like cut flowers, I'm thanking them for being beautiful and their service. And now you're going to go be with other plants and grow into something, get to be new soil and do something else. It was, I don't know, strange. Milkweed. So I got some milkweed last year and made sure to put it by the little drip sprinkler thing so that I don't forget to water them or ignore them. And they are flourishing. And butterflies are coming and landing. And I noticed that there's some mildew or mold growing on the leaves. And so now I'm, you know, I'm here, I'm not attending to them. Am I poisoning the butterflies because, you know, I'm not attending to it? And so, you know, it's a whole, so this planting, this is such a perfect workshop because it's, I get so caught up in the thinking and what does that mean about my program? That I'm so caught up in the thinking and the blaming and the making excuses like, well, it's supposed to be that way. You know, there's a, and anyway. So I feel like at this point in my life, that this is a time of stagnation. When you first started talking about the, this is not necessarily a time for me to flourish. And I had a slip. Today's day 63. And I had to give up things that I was, I felt like I was flourishing in. I was on the board of directors for the first year and had committed to do service at this convention and had to give that all up. And so whatever flourishing I was doing for 9.5 years stopped. And so there were a lot of people I let down, you know, that had to, you know, only had a certain amount of time to get somebody to cover me. And I was not very unhappy about that. I'm taking care of my parents. They're both 93. And I have been doing it for 5.5 years. Who knew they were going to keep going this long? And it's probably a little bit my fault or my, you know. And because of the nature of our relationship, it's not really a safe place for me to be vulnerable. And so I'm very on guard. I'm very, have walls up. And this weekend, I've been, you know, super close to being teary. And I'm sure something will come up because I'm angry about that. I'm angry that I don't get to work on myself. And the card that I got in the back of the room is be brave, be bold, be you. And in this slip, I've started exploring another program, outside help, another program. And I am looking at like the first bit, like the inventory type questions, you know, my relationship with my parents and myself and other people and how I have, you know, tried to be what I thought other people wanted me to be and who am I and, you know, how did that come about? You know, childhood, family of origin, and I'm still there. I'm back there, you know, and I've been back there for 5 years, and I'm just, you know, I guess I'm tired, and I'm angry, and I'm sad, and disappointed in myself, and it came out in my food by having that slip and thinking that I knew better than my sponsor. I don't need to tell her things. And being here this weekend, I've gotten some fantastic sleep because I don't have to wake up and deal with my parents in the middle of the night. And that's been just such a gift and a blessing. And seeing people that I have known for 9 years and see the two people that were the first people I met in program because I did phone bridge. And so I'm just really, really grateful. Thank you so much for letting me talk for so long. This is very special, and thank you for all the hugs and for just holding me in the meetings and on Zoom and in outreach calls and just letting me know I'm not alone. I am not alone. And you are the people that I can share with and be vulnerable and honest because I know that even though we don't know each other, we've never met, you know, that we understand each other. And so I do have a part of my life where I'm not spinning so much. Thank you.
Looks like a good time to cry.
I, you know, I have really good mood stabilizers. Well, I want this to get cut. As I've born directors, I'm one of the people that cut, you know, says this was inappropriate. But I have really good mood stabilizers from my psychiatrist. So it stops me from crying so much. So for me to cry is actually kind of a big deal because then I overriding my meds.
Those meant to be fun.
Yeah, for me to cry, it's a little deal. I can cry at a commercial. So who else would like to share? Doesn't have to be on gardening, just thoughts that you have for today. We have time. And you don't need abstinence. This is a workshop. It's not a meeting. So cool. Thank you.
I'm Pat. I'm from Oklahoma. You can tell from my accent. I'm grateful to be here And you talked about expressing gratitude. I think I felt gratitude, but I've only recently learned to put that into words. And I'm glad for that. There were some things that stuck out to me in today's shares. And just, it was funny, you don't get weeds out by yelling at them. And I've spent a lot of time doing that. But just rephrasing and saying, talking about it's grace and integrity to share with someone. And I think about where I am kind of in my journey. And I was looking at these and I thought, I'm learning to let go of the rigidity and things that I used as weapons and not tools. And I see that shifting in me. And I think my friends would say that too. But I'm also at that place where I have a lot of fear to try to do something on my own. I've been single my entire life, wanted marriage my entire life. I cannot find my way out of a paper bag. When I went back to my high school reunion, the question was, do you still get lost as much as you used to? Yes. But I do know how highways work, so when I get off, I kind of know how to get back on. I don't panic quite as much, but it creates a lot of anxiety for me to go somewhere that I've never been. Now, if you're with me, I don't care if we get lost. I can do all the planning. We can get lost as much as we want. But if I'm on my own, it is extremely anxiety producing. And yet I can be so competent in one area of my life and so immature and needy in another, that I think one of these conferences that I went to, and I was, you know, going on my own and flying, and my friend said, when you get unsettled like this person over here and everything, go ask your other person. And so it was like I did. When I got anxious on that deal, I thought, okay, what would my collected, very smart, competent work person do? And that gave me another side of my personality to feed on. But you talked about when we jump into things, we can make mistakes. And it's like, but when you said that, it was like, oh, that's not the end of the world. It's just a mistake. It's like, and that idea of that, I can go ask someone. I don't have to know. And I grew up feeling like I have to know everything yesterday. And to say I don't know was a big deal. But also learning to ask. And I think about the two people that are most prominent in my life I talk to every day. One is a friend that I made in COVID. If it had not been for COVID, we would probably not be friends. We are as opposite from one another as we can be. We drive each other nuts. The other is my sister, and she has a lot of great qualities, but we're not very much alike either. So we misunderstand each other and had to learn to grow in that relationship. But it made me realize that those are the two people who can give me really good feedback, and they do love me. I make them crazy, they make me crazy, but they do love me and have my best interest at heart. So it would be a gift to have the grace and integrity to share with them where I'm trying to be brave, because I think their feedback and their love could help me to know what are the steps to do. My backyard, I don't want a garden like yours because I don't want to take care of it. But I've figured out kind of how to pare it down, but I don't know how to make it happen. But I do know two people that could tell me one thing to do today, and I could probably do that. But I will tell you, just looking out here at this crowd, community, that has been the biggest thing in this program that matters to me, is it's a community, and I need you. And I am so grateful for you. And thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jerry, compulsive eater from Seattle, Washington. Hi. Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Sue. I thought of so many different ways that... You know, I cultivate my spiritual life, my recovery. Gosh, so many things. But I do enjoy gardening, so a lot of those metaphors, thank you, that you're using, it just really struck me. And also what comes to mind, something that I've had to learn in recovery, which I did not have when I got to these rooms, is to be kind, gentle, and patient. And so that's my favorite mantra to use. And it applies in so many ways. And you know, of course, with a garden, you know, you need to have the, you know, of course, learn, you know, what the plants need. And, you know, it's just like us growing in recovery. You know, I needed help. I needed to ask for help, and which took a lot of humility for me. I was one of those that I was Miss Know-It-All, so I thought I knew so much. And the more that I, you know, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. So, and the same with gardening, you know, it's just trial and error. You may have best intentions, but maybe the soil isn't right. Maybe it's not getting enough sun. Some adjustment needs to be made. And so I have a garden at home. It's mostly a container garden. And last year was very plentiful. I had an abundance of one particular vegetable I won't mention, but I did really well in growing this particular one. So I had a whole lot of I'll just say the seeds in my garage, and I had a whole lot over this past winter. So when I looked to see how much I had, some of them were already sprouting, and I found myself sharing that with my coworkers. I made planters, separate planters, and I've been able to share those. And it brought me so much joy to be able to share that. And it's like when we're sharing our recovery, it's sharing, you know, maybe planting the seed. I love that, you know, thinking about, you know, I'm working on planting seeds with my coworkers and maybe getting them hooked. And they're like, oh, it's growing, it's this tall now. And it just makes me so excited. You know, I'm getting other people excited. And, you know, it's just like, when we can share our recovery and hopefully plant that seed that, you know, that they can also get recovery from compulsive eating or whatever a person is going through. Also, a word that I like to use, I think you used it a couple times, is cultivating. And something that when I was in the disease of compulsive eating, I was losing all of my relationships. And so today I'm grateful that I can cultivate relationships, because I'm a different person today. Because I'm kind, gentle, and patient with myself, and I do love and care for myself today, then I have that to give others. And that was not possible when I was in the disease. So I'm just so grateful. And there's so much more to learn. I mean, life is in session. Things do happen. You know, I've had a couple of with my work and in my personal life and my household, I've had some financial challenges that I'm working on. And I don't know that higher power is pointing me to another 12-step program or not, but, you know, there's more to be seen with that. But I'm, you know, I'm just staying willing to learn. And the same with my garden. I'm learning more and more, like, okay, do I want to make any changes with, you know, a particular thing I'm growing? Just staying open-minded and willing. Maybe I want to try a different vegetable next year, but the one that I've found to have a lot of success with, I'm very much enjoying. Let's see, there was something else that you mentioned it. Anyway, I'm just really grateful that I feel like this is my family, this program. See How has saved my life. And a little bit out of, I guess I'm rambling now, so I guess I'll say thank you for letting me share.
Hello, my name is Frances. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Sue, I came in while you was sharing, and you touched my heart right away. But talking about the garden and talking about being in a new relationship on in another level of your life, and see how has I'm a single woman. I'm a divorced woman. I'm single now, but I got 32 years of recovery in AA, and I've been in CHOW for 3 years, and I have a little over a year of abstinence. And so grateful to God because I needed this program, because this program has really, well, I want to say, my slip last year in June, and I really saw the compulsive and the progressive of my disease. It did not go in vain. And that's where my spiritual growth has come from. Through this whole year of getting closer with God, everything I do now, He's with me. I welcome Him in. And in the shopping, and the wedding, and the measuring, and the cooking, I ain't licking, I ain't sucking, I ain't doing none of that like I used to do and think nobody see me, but I was tricking myself all the time right back into the food. So that's what been my spiritual growth in this past year, is getting just that seed of a mustard seed and how it has grown within inside of me. And I cry all the time, tears of joy, and just to be able to feel my emotions and good, bad, or indifference, all of that. I'm just welcoming it, you know, just taking it all in, because I always wanted to stop it, medicate it, or pick up something to not feel it. And part of being present for me is to feel, be in that moment, whatever it is, with the feeling or the discomfort, just be in the moment. And CHOW has taught me how to do that, do the writing. I like when you was talking about moving in with my boyfriend. I'm like, is hope for me yet, okay? But God been cleaning His daughter up, you know, from the inside out, and that's what I needed. And I have hope for myself. I'm not no longer just taking crumbs. I do my 3 meals and nothing in between. And I you know, and everything I do, I bring it in with the steps, with the program, you know. And they're like, well, how do you get back to the program? Because that's my life. Everything is built around it, you know. And it wasn't like that before I came, before my slip. So, you know, I forgave myself. I got back on the path. Y'all welcome me. You know, my family, all my siblings has passed in the last 3 years. And I was in the program. I stayed abstinent through that time. But God gave me a extended family, the CHOW family. This is my first CHOW meeting ever in life. I've been getting hugs and all of that. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And I'm just very, very grateful to be here. And thanks for letting me share.
Which sign you need. And as we close, I know we just have like 1 minute left, I just want to say, I got an outreach call from somebody. I outreached somebody that I haven't talked to in a long time. I go, I need to talk to this woman. And so she says to me, she had no idea I was doing this workshop or anything. And she goes, I just love this program so much. I'm back in. She goes, and I talked to this person from here and that person from there and this person from here. She says, we're like this whole big bouquet of beautiful people. I said, you just gave me a closing for my workshop. So, outreach calls, and enjoy today. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Welcome. My name is Rhonda. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi. Today, Barbara and I are going to facilitate this workshop on the CEA How concept, and we're going to share a little bit, and then if anyone would like to share on that section, you can come up to the microphone to do so. And anyone who shares will have to sign this consent form, because this workshop is audio recorded. And we also ask that you not use your last name and remain anonymous, since it's being audio recorded. And I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting. If I remember it, I'll tell you. Because I... Oh, yes, no mention of food in your shares. And anything else I'm missing? No? I think the bathrooms are right out this door and to the left, if you need to do that. And we have about 1 minute. What if we just silently meditated for 1 minute, and then I'll lead us in the serenity prayer and you can join? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. Okay, my name is Rhonda, and I am a compulsive eater. Is that too loud? I tend to be very loud naturally. I had the opportunity to be asked to lead a workshop and to pick the topic, and I love the concept. So outside of the tools that we practice every day, this is one of my favorite pieces of literature. I was introduced to CEA How in October of 2023. I live in St. Louis, Missouri, and I did not know that CEA How existed. So I was quite delighted when a friend of mine who was from California, but I met her in Missouri, she moved back, and we are in another fellowship together, and I was always, you know, lamenting about the issues I was having with food. And she said, I have a friend you might like to speak with. And she gave me that person's phone number, and I called her, and she did a 12-step call with me, got me to my first meeting, joined that Zoom meeting with me. Put the food plan and the first 30-day questions in the mail, talked with me about what the food plan was like, and helped me figure out my food for the first few days while I worked on finding a permanent sponsor. I made a lot of phone calls, and I knew that if I knew this principle was true. If I kept taking the action, God would bring the result. And so my first sponsor is from New York, and she really got me going in the program, and I'm so grateful for that. So what Barbara and I are going to do today is we've broken the concept up into sections, so we're going to kind of break it down a little bit, and we'll pause at the end of each section in case any of you would like to share on what the concept or that section has meant to you or your experience, strength, and hope, and we're going to kind of trade off. So I had to technology and printers are not my friend, so it's on my phone. So the first sentence says, the Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How concept has been formed to offer the compulsive eater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. And I loved that phrase. So disciplined and structured approach, I was taught in the other program to look things up, so I'm going to have some definitions today. It involves consistently applying a framework to achieve specific goals, emphasizing organization, adherence to rules, and self-control. I was incapable of doing any of those things when I got here. And if someone would have told me, like, 5 years ago that I would be living the life today, structured and disciplined, I would have laughed and just said, you're a liar. It's